you optimize your supply chain down to the very last penny, right? I mean, you sit at a table and negotiate fiercely with your landlords over a 3% rent increase. You track employee overtime like a hawk.
But every single month, there is a massive line item on your profit and loss statement that you probably pay without ever checking the math.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are framing this conversation explicitly as a strategy session between two operators at MyPayAdvisor. I am your analyst co-host, bringing you the hard data breakdowns.
And I'm your senior payments advisor, taking the lead on the strategy. Today, we are talking directly to you. You are a U.S. merchant processing anywhere between $25,000 and $5 million monthly.
You are working hard to grow, and, well, you are looking to protect your margins. Our mission for this deep dive is to decode the 2026 merchant statement.
We really need to look closely at the numbers because, honestly, the numbers are staggering. According to the Nilson report, U.S. merchants paid roughly $172 billion in card processing fees in 2023. Yeah, and fast forward to 2025. And Visa and MasterCard credit and debit fees alone hit $198 billion. I mean, that is your hard-earned margin flowing right out the front door.
It really is. So we want to anchor this session on your current cost baseline right away. If you are listening to this, pull up your most recent merchant statement.
Right. Take your total fees and divide that number by your gross process volume. That simple calculation gives you your effective rate.
And if your business is card-present retail and that number sits above 2.6%, you are overpaying.
Definitely. And if you are a card-not-present business and that number is above 3.0%, you are overpaying. Specifically, the data tells us you are likely overpaying by 0.30 to 0.80%.
So today, we're going to unbundle the three actual cost layers of a statement. Then we will explore the specific patterns processors use to hide their markup.
We will also look at the massive vulnerability draining business-to-business merchants right now. And finally, we will end with a 45-minute operator playbook you can execute this week to recover that trapped cash.
To beat the processor, you first have to understand the underlying math they use against you.
Right. So let us start with the basic anatomy of a statement. The very first thing to know is that page counts do not matter at all.
Oh, yeah. I see operators get incredibly intimidated by a 20-page invoice from a legacy provider like First Data.
They do. And then on the flip side, they will look at a crisp 2-page or 6-page statement from Stripe and assume it is completely transparent.
But both of those formats can hide markup just as effectively, right? Because they both bundle the underlying costs. Your statement is actually just a stack of three separate cost layers bolted together.
That is correct. Let us break down those three distinct buckets. The first bucket is called interchange. This is the largest component by far.
Okay, so a huge chunk of it.
Yeah, it typically makes up 70 to 80% of your total processing cost. Interchange is set by the card networks. That means Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express.
Right, but they do not keep that money, do they?
No, they do not. That money is paid out to the issuing bank, which is the specific bank that gave your customer their shiny rewards credit card. The Federal Reserve closely tracks these payment systems, and the networks publish their rates openly for anyone to see.
Let us slow down the math there so we can really picture it. What does a standard interchange rate actually look like?
Good question. For example, if a customer hands you a card-present Visa Signature credit card, the wholesale interchange rate for that specific card runs at 1.65% plus 10 cents per transaction.
Okay, got it.
But regulated debit is an entirely different animal. A regulated debit card sits at just 0.05% plus 22 cents.
That makes sense. So that is bucket one. The second bucket is called assessments. These are the fixed fees paid directly to the card brands themselves.
Exactly.
If we look at the public data, Visa's published assessment fee is strictly 0.14% on credit volume. MasterCard charges 0.1375% for transactions under $1,000.
They also have flat per transaction fees.
Right. Visa calls theirs the Acquirer Processing Fee, or APF, which sits at 1.95 cents on credit. MasterCard has a similar one called the Network Access and Brand Usage Fee, which is also exactly 1.95 cents.
That brings us to the third and final bucket, processor markup. This is the crucial part.
Oh, this is where they get you.
Yeah, this is the only line item on your entire monthly invoice that the payment processor actually controls. Everything in the first two buckets, meaning the interchange and the assessments, is just your processor passing the wholesale costs along to you.
So the markup bucket is where they make their profit.
100%.
Wait, let me make sure I am visualizing this correctly. It sounds exactly like buying a car at a dealership.
Oh, that is a great way to look at it.
Right. So you have the raw factory cost to build vehicle, which is the interchange. Then you have the mandatory state taxes and vehicle registration, which are the assessments.
Exactly.
And finally, you have the dealer markup, which is the processor markup. But the dealer tries to mix all those numbers together into one single monthly payment, so you do not realize how big their cut actually is.
That dealer markup analogy is perfect. Our entire goal today is to strip away the noise and isolate that dealer markup.
Right.
Because now that we know what the processor is actually allowed to charge, we need to look at how they legally pad the bill. Processors rely heavily on merchant fatigue.
They know you are busy running a complex business, managing payroll, and dealing with vendors.
Right. So they build in margin traps that are completely invisible to the untrained eye.
Okay. So if they're shuffling the numbers around like a car dealer, how exactly do they hide that markup?
Well, it usually starts with the bait and switch of tiered pricing. That is trap number one. A sales rep will walk into your office and promise you a very low, attractive rate.
Like a teaser rate.
Yeah, exactly. They might say your qualified rate is just 1.69%, so you sign the contract thinking you got a great deal.
Right.
But the contract contains opaque routing rules. It is based on the type of card the customer uses, or whether the billing address matches perfectly, or even what specific time of day you close your batch.
And let me guess, almost none of your real-world transactions actually meet those strict criteria.
Bingo. In practice, 30 to 60% of your total volume gets pushed right out of that low tier. It gets downgraded into what they call a mid-qualified tier, which might suddenly jump to 2.45%, or worse, a non-qualified tier sitting at 3.25%.
Let us translate that percentage into real-world pain. Think about how hard you fought to negotiate $1,000 off your monthly commercial rent.
Oh, man.
If you process $200,000 a month in volume, this downgrade trap alone is quietly stealing between $1,200 and $2,400 from you every single month. They're wiping out your hard-fought rent savings just because your customers happen to use corporate cards or travel rewards cards.
It is incredibly frustrating. And it gets worse when we look at trap number two, the fixed costs. You would think the assessments, you know, those fixed network fees like the state taxes in your car analogy, are strictly passed through without being touched.
But they are not.
No. That brings us to catted assessments.
This is pure theft by addition. We just looked at the raw data earlier. Visa's published assessment is strictly 0.14%. You can look it up right now on their published fee schedule.
Right.
But processors will list a line item on your statement called Visa Assessment, and they will charge you 0.15 or 0.16%.
Yeah, they quietly pocket the difference. And, you know, it sounds tiny on paper, just one or two basis points.
When you say basis points, for anyone who does not live in financial spreadsheets all day, we are talking about 0.01%. It sounds completely microscopic.
It does sound microscopic, but operator math proves otherwise. Let us look at a business processing $500,000 of monthly volume. A tiny 2 basis point pad costs you $100 every month. Over a standard 60-month processor contract, that tiny little pad drains $6,000 straight from your bottom line. It is the exact equivalent of a car dealer sneaking an invisible undercoating fee onto your final bill.
So they shuffle my transactions into expensive tiers, and they pad the fixed taxes. What other junk is buried in a standard statement?
Well, trap number three centers around compliance. Every single year, you have to file a PCI self-assessment questionnaire. It is to prove your business is handling card data safely.
Right, the annual paperwork drill.
Exactly. And if you are busy and you forget to file it, legacy processors will hit you with a $19.95 to $39.95 monthly penalty.
Ouch.
And this penalty is completely separate from the standard $5 to $15 compliance fee you already pay them.
And let me guess, the processor has zero incentive to remind you that your compliance form is due.
None at all. Your missed deadline is their recurring revenue. Modern providers like Helsum actually publish a zero PCI fee policy, but legacy providers bury that noncompliance penalty deep in their initial disclosures.
They know that by 5 p.m. on a Friday, you are too exhausted to read the fine print.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of fine print, let us talk about trap number four. The junk fees that sound very official. When you look at the fee detail page of your statement, you will often see terms like regulatory product fee, network integrity fee, merchant club fee, or IRS reporting fee.
Right. They sound very mandatory.
But let us be crystal clear on the data right now. There is no federal regulatory requirement for an IRS reporting fee on a merchant statement. Those line items are 100% pure processor revenue.
Just pure profit.
A typical statement carries 3 to 5 of these junk fees, ranging from $5 to $25 each. You will never see these on a transparent pricing page.
There is also trap number 5, which is a major one involving average ticket caps.
This one is sneaky.
Very. When you first sign your merchant application, you list an estimated average ticket size. Let us say you write down $85. A year later, business is booming, you sell a premium product bundle, and you run a $400 transaction.
Good news for the business, right?
You would think so. But Clause 11 in standard processing contracts allows the processor to flag that larger transaction and automatically downgrade it to a much more expensive tier. Almost no operator ever reads Clause 11.
So if we look closely at the data from the actual network fee schedules, Visa and MasterCard charge less than 2 cents for their fixed network access fees. So what is the hard rule of thumb for operators reviewing these line items right now?
The rule is simple. If you see any network access fee or APF line item charging you more than 2 cents per transaction, it has been padded. Your processor is taking a cut of a fixed network fee. You need to call your processor, point out that you know the published rate is 1.95 cents, and demand a refund.
We just covered the hidden fees buried in complex traditional statements.
Yeah.
But sometimes the biggest margin drain is not buried in a 20-page invoice. It is hiding in plain sight.
Under the guise of simplicity.
Exactly. Let us transition and talk about the flat rate illusion and the massive vulnerability for business-to-business companies.
Processors know that merchants really hate complex statements. So companies like Stripe and Square built massive, multi-billion dollar businesses by offering flat rates.
Right. Stripe publishes a flat 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction online.
Yeah, and Square charges 2.6% plus 10 cents for in-person transactions. They take the interchange, the assessments, and their processor markup, and they mash them all together into one easy, predictable number.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. I have to ask the question on the mind of many operators listening right now. Is not that simplicity worth the cost?
For some, maybe.
I mean, moving off a massive platform like Stripe means I have to get my developers to overhaul my website checkout flow. It might break my integrations. I have to retrain my accounting team. Is the juice really worth the squeeze just to save some basis points?
Well, if you run a neighborhood coffee shop doing $14 transactions, maybe it is not worth the hassle. The predictability and the easy tech integration definitely have value there. But if you are a business-to-business distributor, a manufacturer, or an industrial supplier, that simplicity is devastating. The math simply does not work in your favor at all.
Let us run the B2B operator math to see what you mean.
Okay.
Imagine an industrial parts distributor. They process $420,000 a month.
Okay.
Because they are B2B, their average ticket is high. Let us call it $1,850 per transaction. They take payments online or over the phone, so they are card not present.
Right.
If they use a flat rate processor at 2.9% plus 30 cents, their effective rate comes out to 2.92%.
Which means they are paying over $12,000 a month just to collect their own revenue. That is incredibly painful.
It really is.
And it is completely unnecessary because of how commercial cards actually work. When you process a corporate card or a purchasing card, the native commercial interchange rate actually runs between 2.2 and 2.65%. That is the wholesale factory cost before any markup is applied.
This is where level 2 and level 3 data optimization comes into play. When you run a transaction on a flat rate system, the system only passes basic data, just the card number and the final amount.
Exactly.
But if you move to an Interchange Plus contract, like Helsum's standard pricing model, your system can submit extra data along with the transaction. Level 2 and level 3 data includes things like the tax amount, the specific invoice number, and detailed line item descriptions.
Yes. And when you pass that extra data to the card networks, Visa and MasterCard categorize the transaction as lower risk. They actively reward you by dropping the interchange rate.
Okay, I see the numbers drop, but why do Visa and MasterCard care? I mean, why does adding a tax amount or an invoice number magically make my wholesale costs go down?
Well, it is all about risk mitigation. Visa and MasterCard price their network fees based on the likelihood of fraud or a customer chargeback.
Right, so if someone steals a credit card, they go buy a flat-screen television or a laptop.
Exactly. They do not buy $1,800 worth of industrial lubricants and file an itemized invoice with matching corporate tax records.
That makes a lot of sense.
When you send Level 2 and Level 3 data, you are proving to the network that this is a rock-solid, legitimate commercial transaction with a clear paper trail. The risk of fraud drops to near zero, so they reward you with a lower wholesale rate.
Wow.
For our sample B2B merchant, passing level 3 data drops their raw interchange cost all the way down to 2.05%.
The results of this specific optimization are massive. By moving off a simple flat rate plan to an interchange plus pricing model and submitting level 3 data, this sample merchant saves 40 basis points instantly. Their total monthly processing cost drops from over $12,000 down to roughly $10,000. That results in $25,824 in pure annual savings, just by changing how the data is submitted to the network and unbundling the rate.
That is exactly right. B2B operators who stay on flat rate pricing leave more money on the table than any other vertical we see. A flat rate plan charges you a blended, expensive consumer card rate on transactions that should easily qualify for much cheaper commercial interchange.
It is a huge blind spot.
It is. If your B2B statement shows a flat 2.9% and you do not see level 2 or level 3 line items anywhere on the page, you are overpaying by 0.40 to 0.80%.
We have isolated the problem. We have looked at the factory costs versus the dealer markup using our car analogy.
Right, and we have shown the hard math on the tiered downgrades and that flat rate illusion.
So now it is time to execute. We need to translate this into action. Let us build the MyPay Advisor operator playbook for this week. It should take about 45 minutes to run through.
Yeah, the first move is pulling your last 3 months of merchant statements. You need to calculate your effective rate for each month by dividing your total fees by your gross processed volume. Look at the three percentages side by side.
But wait, hold on. Why 3 months? Why not just grab the most recent one sitting on my desk?
Because you need to spot the variance. If month one is 2.4%, month two is 2.5%, and month three is 2.7%, you have a major problem.
Ah, the downgrades.
Exactly. If your effective rate varies by more than 0.20% between those months, you are almost certainly suffering from tiered downgrades. Your processor is constantly rebucketing your transactions into more expensive tiers.
Got it. Step two is bucketing your line items. You need to try to sort every single charge on that statement into interchange, assessments, or processor markup, find the factory cost, the taxes, and the dealer cut.
Right.
But I know from looking at these that most legacy statements are actively hostile to this process. What if my statement is just a block of text and not itemized clearly?
If you cannot easily read it, you need to email your processor today. Do not call them. Put it in an email. Demand a 90-day interchange categorized statement. Force them to put the true cost breakdown in writing.
Step three, check the padding. Verify the assessments against the published rates. Visa must be exactly 0.14%. MasterCard must be exactly 0.1375% for transactions under $1,000.
And then grab a physical highlighter and sum up the junk fees. Find the regulatory fees, the club fees, the statement fees. On a typical account, these add up to between $35 and $90 every single month.
Step four is all about getting the upper hand in the market. You need to get three competitive quotes based strictly on interchange plus pricing. Request a quote from a direct acquirer. That means a primary processing bank like Chase or Fiserv.
Then request one from a subscription-style processor that charges a flat monthly software fee instead of a percentage markup.
And finally, request one from an independent payment consultant. Give them your monthly volume, your average ticket size, and your card mix.
Right. And then comes step five. Take those three quotes, email your current processor representative, and tell them you have market offers at interchange plus a specific transparent margin. Ask them to match it by the end of the month.
Do processors actually match these quotes, or do they just call your bluff?
Roughly 60% of processors will match the new rate. They will actively cut their own dealer markup to avoid losing your merchant ID, which is your unique account number in their system.
So it is cheaper for them to keep you at a lower rate than to lose you entirely.
Exactly. Keeping your account active is worth more to them than losing you over a few basis points. If they stubbornly refuse to match the transparent pricing, you take the best quote and you move your business.
You optimize your supply chain down to the penny. You negotiate fiercely with your landlords. You treat your inventory like gold, and you fight for employee efficiency.
Yeah.
Why do you let your highest margin asset, which is your daily cash flow, be taxed by a payment processor without ever checking their math?
It is time to treat payment processing as a manageable cost of goods sold, not a fixed utility. Because right now, the processor is relying on your exhausted assumption that the dealer markup is actually an unchangeable factory cost.
Go run the math on your effective rate this week. Isolate the markup, challenge the junk fees, and take back your margin. it leaves you with an interesting question to mull over. What else are you currently accepting as a fixed, unchangeable cost in your business right now that is actually just a quiet negotiation waiting to happen?